There should be no mistake. The person who takes that mark and worships the Antichrist are doomed to the lake of fire. There's no repentance. There's no changing your mind. There's no saying, oops, I shouldn't have done this. If you do this, this is what will happen. In our last program, we looked at the first part of the tribulation. Today, we start looking at the last half, the trumpet and the bowl judgments that come on the earth. This will be a horrific time on earth, like nothing you could ever imagine. This is a series you can't miss as we look at the end times on Living Your Faith. It's the midpoint of the tribulation where the Antichrist now sets up his throne. And he'll look to heaven and openly blaspheme God and all of us in heaven. And God's going to allow this to happen because he knows that the Antichrist time will come as well. And the false prophet will be raised up and officially begin to promote the Antichrist as God. In his presence, the false prophet will perform great signs and wonders for the entire world to see. But his greatest feat won't be performed here. He'll eventually build a statue of the Antichrist and command it to come to life and to speak. And this is going to be a shock to the entire world. But if that's not enough, the statue will command everyone worldwide to worship the Antichrist and to take his mark, the mark of the beast, 666. A world dictatorship will be set up, and it will cause every man, woman, and child, rich or poor, to take the mark, either on their forehead or on their right hand. And everyone will take that mark except those who have accepted Yeshua as Savior and have God's mark on them. We saw this in Revelation 13:8. But before anyone takes the mark, God will send angels to earth to preach the gospel and to warn the people of the consequences of taking the mark. Again, predicted in Revelation 14, verses 6 to 11. And then I saw another angel flying directly overhead with an eternal gospel to proclaim to those who dwell on earth, to every nation, tribe, and language, and people. And he said with a loud voice, "Fear God and give him glory, because the hour of his judgment has come, and worship him who made heaven and earth and sea and the springs of water." Verse 8, another angel, a second follow, saying, "Fallen, fallen is Babylon the Great, she who made all nations drink the wine of the passion of her sexual immorality." Verse 9, and another angel, a third, followed them, saying with a loud voice, "If anyone worships the beast and its image and receives a mark on his forehead or on his hand, he will also drink the wine of God's wrath, poured full strength into the cup of his anger, and he will be tormented with fire and sulfur in the presence of the holy angels and in the presence of the Lamb. And the smoke of their torment goes up forever and ever, and they have no rest, day or night, these worshipers of the beast and its image, and whoever receives the mark of its name." Three angels will literally be flying through the air, proclaiming the gospel of Yeshua, understandable to every person in every language on the planet. They'll also be carrying a strong message for those who decide to take the mark, that anyone who does take that mark or worships the Antichrist will be eternally damned to the lake of fire. There should be no mistake. The person who takes that mark and worships the Antichrist are doomed to the lake of fire. There's no repentance. There's no changing your mind. There's no saying, oops, I shouldn't have done this. If you do this, this is what will happen. It shall also be noted that between the message of the first and third angel, the second angel announces that Mystery Babylon has fallen. This probably means that the Roman Empire that was set up during this time will be destroyed just after the Antichrist declares himself to be God. More than likely, there will be nations that don't accept his announced plan for world domination and dictatorship. And this is when the Antichrist puts down or subdues the three kings that was prophesied in Daniel 7:24. And at this time, it's about 4 years into the tribulation. And a sixth seal is broken. Again, Revelation 6, now verses 12 to 17. And when he opened the sixth seal, I looked, and behold, there was a great earthquake. And the sun became black as sackcloth. The full moon became like blood. And the stars of the sky fell to the earth as the fig tree sheds its winter fruit when shaken by a gale. The sky vanished like a scroll that is being rolled up, and every mountain and island was moved from its place. Then the kings of the earth, and the great ones, and the generals, and the rich, and the powerful, and everyone, slave and free, hid themselves in caves and among rocks of the mountains, calling to the mountains and the rocks, "Fall on us and hide us from the face of him who is seated on the throne, and from the wrath of the Lamb, for the great day of their wrath has come, and who can stand?" The unholy Trinity, Satan, the Antichrist, and the false prophet, have now succeeded in deceiving the world into worshiping them unhindered as God. They think they're in control, but we all know God's still pulling the strings. It's now that God will show his awesome power, because this seal will begin the most dreadful time in the history of mankind. The day of the Lord has now come. Right in the middle of Satan's apparent victory, the sixth seal is open, and its purpose is to strike terror into the hearts of those still living on this earth. Immediately, a great earthquake erupts, and it is so devastating that it is felt worldwide. Every mountain and island will be moved from its place. And at the same time, volcanoes all over the world will probably erupt and explode, spewing volcanic ash miles into the air. The sun will turn black. The moon will be red. The stars of heaven will fall to earth, meaning that meteorites will more than likely hit the earth's surface. Men, rich and poor, free and slave, will hide themselves for fear of the Lord. And judging from the scriptures, the world will apparently view this great destruction as the coming of the Lord, because no one will mistake this devastation simply as a natural disaster. But even in fear, their hardness of hearts will not allow them to repent of their sin and come to the saving knowledge of Yeshua, Jesus, the Messiah. And now to the seventh seal, Revelation 8:1. When the Lamb opened the seventh seal, there was silence in heaven for about a half an hour. After the massive earthquake that was felt worldwide, God calls for silence. It says for about a half an hour. We don't know if that's a literal half hour, but it is some period of time. The purpose of this silence will be to see what the reaction of the people will be, whether they'll continue to rebel or whether they'll repent. Some scholars describe this as the calm before the storm. It is. It will probably be the last chance for man to obtain mercy for the end of the silence come remaining judgments, which will be so devastating and so horrible that Jesus said in Matthew 24:22, "And if those days had not been cut short, no human being would be saved. But for the sake of the elect, those days will be cut short." The judgments that are coming, they're known as the trumpet and bowl judgments, and they'll be released in order, one right after the other, and they're recorded in Revelation 8, 7 through 9, Revelation 11, 15 through 19, and Revelation 16, 1 to 21. And we're going to look at all of them. Now, some scholars consider these judgments to be the wrath of God, and therefore believe that those who have repented or those who do repent during this time will be protected. They see this using 1 Thessalonians 5:9, "For God has not destined us for wrath, but to obtain salvation through our Lord Jesus Christ." This could be true. However, the remaining judgments, in those judgments, only the fifth trumpet and the first and fifth bowl judgments are said to be specifically released against the kingdom of the Antichrist, and that those who bear the mark of God are protected. So it can be inferred that these people could only count on protection where the Bible specifically states that they'll be protected. They won't be protected in all of them. So now the judgments start in earnest. It's about 4.5 years, maybe 5 years into the tribulation, and the first trumpet judgment sounds. Revelation chapter 8, verse 7. "The first angel blew his trumpet, and there followed hail and fire mixed with blood. And these were thrown upon the earth, and a third of the earth was burned up, and a third of the trees were burned up, and all of the green grass was burned up. Some scholars believe that this represents an all-out nuclear war, where God will force man, or leave man, to destroy himself. Others don't agree with this because the destruction that's described is way too precise. This trumpet judgment will come directly from God, and he'll bring about a worldwide hailstorm. That's what it says. There followed hail and fire, a worldwide hailstorm, unlike one that man has never encountered. These will be hailstones of fire, and they're going to bombard the earth unmercifully, destroying a third of the trees and cover the ground like freshly fallen snow and burning up the grass. The second scenario is a little more probable because along with the loss of the grass will come a massive crop failure resulting in huge food shortages. And this will result in many wild animals and livestock and people to die from starvation. Do you see, trees act as a natural air filter for the earth. They continuously clean the air. And with a third less trees, well, the air will probably be barely breathable. The second trumpet will sound right after Revelation 8, verses 8 and 9. The second angel blew his trumpet, and something like a great mountain burning with fire was thrown into the sea, and a third of the sea became blood, and a third of the living creatures in the sea died, and a third of the ships were destroyed. It's possible that war on the sea could break out, drawing many warships into the area, but more than likely, this judgment too comes directly from God. Like the first trumpet, it will serve notice that though man has turned to the Antichrist, he's helpless. The Antichrist is helpless to save them from the wrath to come. It's not clear what the burning mountain is, but John's probably describing an asteroid or a large meteorite, but not just any old meteorite, but one that is so enormous that upon impact, it will melt and destroy and disintegrate anything in its path. Imagine a giant fireball the size of a country crashing into the ocean at the speed of 35,000 miles per hour. Forget the fact that the heat and the death of the sea creatures, the tidal wave that this impact will cause will be of epic proportions. Any ships that are not immediately disintegrated from the intense heat will be destroyed by the tidal waves that will follow. Needless to say, many people will die. The third trumpet sounds, verses 10 and 11. The third angel blew his trumpet, and a great star fell from heaven, blazing like a torch, and it fell on a third of the rivers and on the springs of water. The name of the star is Wormwood. A third of the waters became wormwood, and many people died from the water because it had been made bitter. God is continuing to systematically destroy the natural resources that are critical to man's existence. He's destroyed a third of the oceans and its creatures, and now he's destroying a third of the rivers and springs. This will be a fatal blow, considering one third of the available drinking water will now be contaminated. And although death toll is not known here, the Bible states that many people will die from drinking this contaminated water. There is a toxic variety of the wormwood plant. Whether this is the same as the one mentioned in the scripture isn't known, but that could be it. The fourth judgment, Revelation 8, verses 12 and 13. The fourth angel blew his trumpet, and a third of the sun was struck, and a third of the moon, and a third of the stars, so that a third of their light might be darkened, and a third of the day might be kept from shining, and likewise a third of the night. God's now striking three natural sources of light and reducing it by a third. Again, some scholars try to link this to some nuclear holocaust, but if this were caused by nuclear war, the skies would be dark continuously around the clock like a dark haze. God, who is in precise control here, simply turns out the lights so that a day is shortened by a third. From this day forward, a day is probably shortened from 24 hours to 16. And this would be consistent with what Yeshua said in Matthew 24, 22. And if those days had not been cut short, no human being would be saved. And for the sake of the elect, those days will be cut short. Immediately, though, John looked up and saw an angel flying through heaven, announcing that there are still three trumpets to be sounded. As horrible as these first four trumpets were, the last three will be even worse. So bad is the warning, it's emphasized with three woes. We see this in the last verse of Revelation chapter 8. Then I looked, and I heard an eagle crying with a loud voice as it flew directly overhead, "Woe, woe, woe to those who dwell on the earth at the blast of the other trumpets that are the three angels are about to blow." The fifth trumpet, Revelation 9, verses 1 to 11. And the fifth angel blew his trumpet, and I saw a star fallen from heaven to earth, and he was given the key to the shaft of the bottomless pit. And he opened the shaft of the bottomless pit, and from the shaft rose smoke like the smoke from a great furnace. And the sun and the air were darkened with the smoke of the shaft. And from the smoke came locusts on the earth, and they were given power like power of scorpions on the earth. And they were told not to harm the grass of the earth or any green plant or any tree, but only those people who have not have the seal of God on their foreheads. They were allowed to torment them for 5 months, but not kill them. And their torment was like the torment of a scorpion when it stings someone. And in those days, people will seek death and will not find it. They will long to die, but death will flee from them. In appearance, the locusts were like horses prepared for battle. On their heads were what looked like crowns of gold. Their faces were like human faces, and their hair was like women's hair, and their teeth were like a lion's teeth. And they had breastplates like breastplates of iron, and the noise of their wings was like the noise of many chariots with horses rushing into battle. They have tails and stings like scorpions, and their power to hurt people for 5 months is in their tails. They have as king over them the angel of the bottomless pit. His name in Hebrew is Abaddon, and in Greek his name is called Apollyon. We're now about 5 to 5.5 years into the tribulation, and this judgment begins a torment that we can only try to imagine. These creatures are literal beings that will be released on the earth for a specific period of time, 5 months. Some believe that the angel releasing these locusts is Christ, because he alone has the keys to death and hell. We see that in Revelation 1:18. Others believe it's Satan, but whoever it is, they have the authority to unlock the earthly opening to the pit of hell. And immediately, this unleashes the most horrible creatures ever created by God. And they're eager to get to their mission, which is simple. They are not to harm the trees and vegetation, and they're not to kill any person, but they're to torment only those people who do not have the seal of God. These people who have the seal of the beast on their forehead and their hand, those are the only ones to be tormented. And for 5 months, they'll roam the earth looking for those people who they are to torment. The worst part is these beasts cannot be destroyed. With all the high-tech weaponry that's probably available, nothing can take these creatures out. Nothing. This scenario that I'm about to give you will probably give you a closer look into the nightmare that I'm happy that any believer here today, and myself included, will not have to face. Imagine for a moment that you're walking through what used to be a thickly wooded forest that was devastated by the fiery hailstorm. At a glance, it looks like the result of a wildfire that came and went, a fire that took out everything in its path. These are dangerous times, and particularly dangerous to those who are out by themselves. As you proceed down the ever-deepening dark path, you can't help but wonder what's coming on you. With every passing day, the world seems to be plunging deeper and deeper into a dark age that's unimaginable by mankind. It's 2:00 in the afternoon, and the sun is already beginning to set due to the shortened day. And you have to find shelter or risk falling prey to wild animals. Suddenly, the earth begins to violently shake. Thinking it's another earthquake, you dive behind a fallen tree nearby and you brace for the worst. As the rumbling draws closer, you realize it's not an earthquake. It sounds more like a stampede, and it's headed your way. And as you look out from behind your hiding place, you can't believe your eyes. Thousands, maybe millions of horse-like creatures are flying through the air, and it looks like something straight out of hell. It's not like anything you've ever seen. You position yourself to get a better look. You're curious. They have a face of a man with long flowing hair, and they have a horse-like body with giant protruding wings resembling that of a bat. At the other end appeared to be what looks like a tail, but it wasn't any ordinary tail. It coiled and uncoiled like a scorpion's tail, as if it were to strike. Their overall appearance was ferocious, like some wild beast, and they moved with stealth-like precision. Terrified that you might be noticed, you quickly move back as they pass overhead. But it's too late. You've been spotted. Thinking that your only chance is to flee and run, you begin to run into a nearby patch of trees. But as you near the forest, you can hear the sound of the creature's wings getting closer and closer. Your mind is racing a mile a minute like a prey who's being strayed from the pack. Only 30 feet more, 20 feet. Your heart is pounding with every step. You grasp whatever hope might remain, but the creature is overtaking you, knocking you to the ground. And as you look up at his fiery eyes, you brace for the worst. As the creature stares down intently at you, with scorpion-like tail poised to strike, he suddenly raises his head back and lets out a roar, revealing his razor-sharp teeth. And then, to your amazement, he flies and turns and flies away. You slowly stand to your feet. You can't help but wonder why you've been spared. If you're living at that time and having the mark of God on you, you've been spared. But as days go by, you'll hear of many who will not be as fortunate. You'll learn of the terror and the pain inflicted by these creatures who have but one mission and purpose, to torment those on earth who didn't have the seal of God. For in their tails lies the sting of a scorpion and the power to hurt men for 5 months. This torment will be so awful, people will want to commit suicide, but God won't permit death to come on these people. Sounds a little like the eternal torment of hell, doesn't it? This judgment is where God shows a little taste of things to come to these people who don't have God's mark. Continuing in Revelation 9, verses 13 to 19 gives us details of the sixth trumpet. Then the sixth angel blew his trumpet, and I heard a voice from the four horns of the golden altar before God, saying to the sixth angel who had the trumpet, "Release the four angels who are bound at the great river Euphrates." So the four angels who had been prepared for the hour, the day, the month, and the year were released to kill a third of mankind. The number of mounted troops was twice 10,000 times 10,000. I heard their number. And this is how I saw the horses in my vision and those who rode them. They wore breastplates the color of fire and of sapphire and of sulfur, and the heads of the horses were like lions' heads, and fire and smoke and sulfur came out of their mouths. By these three plagues, a third of mankind was killed by fire and smoke and sulfur coming out of their mouths, for the power of the horses is in their mouths and in their tails, for their tails were like serpents with heads, and by means of them, they wound. At this point, folks, it's estimated that by many scholars that about 3 to 4 billion people have died so far. With the blast of the sixth trumpet will come the death of another third of the remaining world population. God will call for the release of the four demonic angels that have been prepared for this very moment to sweep from east to west. The size of this army will number 200 million people. No one will be able to stop their military advancement, and it will begin 13 months of death and destruction that will eventually climax at the Battle of Armageddon. Who are these demonic leaders? And are they literal or symbolic demons? Well, more than likely, these are literal military leaders who were set aside by God for this very day. It's unknown if the army will be demon-possessed as well, but more than a few Bible scholars believe that they are. At this point, we're probably entering the final year of the tribulation period because things happen real quickly after this. The seventh trumpet can be found in two scriptures. It starts in Revelation 11, verses 15 to 19, and then Revelation 15, 5 through 16, 1. And I'm going to read them for you. Then the seventh angel blew his trumpet, and there were loud voices in heaven saying, "The kingdom of the world has become the kingdom of our Lord and his Christ, and he shall reign forever and ever." And the 24 elders who sit on their thrones before God fell to their faces and worshiped God, saying, "We give thanks to you, Lord God Almighty, who is and who was, for you have taken your great power and begun to reign. The nations raged, but your wrath came, and the time for the dead to be judged, and for rewarding your servants, the prophets and the saints, and those who fear your name, both small and great, and for destroying the destroyers of the earth." Then God's temple in heaven was opened, and the Ark of the Covenant was seen within his temple. There were flashes of lightning, rumblings, peals of thunder, an earthquake, and heavy hail. Skip forward to Revelation 15:5. "After this I looked, and the sanctuary of the tent of witness in heaven was opened, and out of the sanctuary came the seven angels with the seven plagues, clothed in pure bright linen, with golden sashes around their chest. And one of the four living creatures gave to the seven angels seven golden bowls full of wrath of God who lives forever and ever. And the sanctuary was filled with smoke from the glory of God and from his power, and no one could enter the sanctuary until the seven plagues of the seven angels were finished. Then I heard a loud voice from the temple telling the seven angels, 'Go and pour out on earth the seven bowls of the wrath of God.'" At this point, all of heaven rejoices because they know it's getting very close to the end. This group of judgments will finish around the middle to the end of the seventh year of the tribulation. But God's wrath wasn't enough to make most people repent. And because of that, the bowl judgments will now come on earth. So the seventh trumpet was the releasing of the seven bowls. And this time all seven angels are each given a bowl and instructed to immediately pour it out on earth. Most scholars believe that they will be poured out one after the other without delay. Sort of a grand finale of a fireworks display.
Living Your Faith is a production of 3-Day Ministries located in suburban Philadelphia, Pennsylvania. Pastor Joe Geiser leads 3-Day Ministries, and his sole purpose is twofold: to educate you in your faith and allowing you to mature in your faith, and to bring a message of salvation to the lost in hopes that they'll come to repentance and the life-saving message of Yeshua HaMashiach, Jesus the Messiah. You can reach him on Facebook. Just look for 3-Day Ministries, or look for him either on Facebook or Twitter. Join us tomorrow, right here on Living Your Faith.